right, and we're back. This is episode 53 of the Taproom Podcast, and I'm your host, Mike. I have a guest on today, and this is going to actually be the first time ever where I've had the guest on the intro is actually the one I did the interview with. So I have Abraham Mercado from La Bodega over here in Whittier off of Comstock and Bailey. What's going on, brother?
How's it going, everyone?
Yeah. Doing pretty good. I might have had a few beers last night, but I'm good.
I got just the remedy for you.
Oh, exactly. And that's why I wanted to come back to do the intro so we could, since you had some new beers coming out, and we kind of talked about that off air and a little on air when I was here a couple weeks ago. Oh, and my family loved all the food, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it was great. But so tell us about this first one.
Sure, absolutely. So what we have in front of us now is a Japanese rice lager.
Okay.
The name of it is Himoto, which translates to be local.
Yeah.
Like just being local in the area. And yeah, this puppy was rebrewed actually, because this is about the fourth or fifth version of it.
Okay.
The recipe that I've been tinkering now for, I don't know, five plus years.
Yeah.
And the reason why it came about is because we had a meeting with the Dodgers, sort of telling us about how we did with our beer there and if we're going to come back and things of that nature. And sort of the conversation segued into an open tap that they have, and they asked for Japanese lager.
Yeah.
And so we brewed this in the hopes of them buying it and picking it up and having it at Dodger Stadium. So we dropped off some samples and, you know, knock on wood, hopefully we'll get in with this beer.
That's awesome, man. Well, cheers. There we go. Now, I love a good Japanese lager.
Yeah. So this is, you know, the inspiration for this one is Kirin. So I wanted to make it super dry.
Yeah.
Obviously brewed it with Japanese rice in the mash. I used Japanese as well as German hops.
Okay.
For this one, Pilsner malt. Just wanted to make it nice, crisp, clean.
Mm-hmm.
This one clocks in at 5%.
Nice, crushable.
So, crushable, very crushable.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, definitely. And there's almost like that little hint like of a sweetness. I feel like on the back end. That's really good.
Yeah,
that's solid, brother.
Thank you. So hopefully, you know, your listeners out there would be able to taste it in Dodger Stadium, and if not, they could come into the tap room.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, but yeah, this is really good. And what's the what's the turnaround for something like this when you're starting your brew?
Oh man, as far as how long it takes to make?
Yeah,
this one's about 2 months, I believe.
Wow,
two and change. Yeah, I just gotta let it sit and there's two time constraints here. One is actually letting it lager. The other one is actually having it dry out.
Yeah,
and there's certain things that you can do, right? You can transfer from one to another, let the yeast do its thing. It's going to do it. It's just going to take that much longer. There's enzymes that you can buy that break down sort of the sugars in there, the starches, so that the yeast can metabolize it, and that dries it out as well. So there's different techniques to get it, quote unquote, dry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to take time, right?
Of course.
One way or another. And then, as I already mentioned, just having it sit there and lager is the other sort of technique or method that brewers employ, not only to get it crystal clear, but so that it, you know, smooths out and has that crispness and that taste that we all love in lagers.
Awesome. Yeah, no, this is, yeah, it's killer, brother. That's great.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. Of course, still want to do a few things to it, but
it's like never really done, right?
Yeah, man, seriously. I think it's, I would say about like 90% there.
Okay. You
know, just wanted to get it a little bit more dry. But at this point, it's like the margins that I'm messing with in my head, I suppose, are like the things that I want to tweak.
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to get some of that done in the next brew.
There you go. Nice. I know we did want to ask you before, because I know you have how many other beers do you have?
We got 15 on tap. Actually, we have more. I just have 15 handled.
Some of the new ones, because I know you brewed a couple new ones, right?
So I'm actually in the process of brewing new ones.
Oh, gotcha.
Same
okay.
thing with, this is for clients that are asking us, you know, we want this type of beer, that type okay. of beer. And so I can't really quite talk about who we're doing it for yet.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah, we're brewing up a Marzen / Oktoberfest.
Okay.
That's going to be coming down the pipeline here pretty soon. Another seltzer that's going to be actually higher in ABV, probably going to be north of 10%.
Nice.
Yeah, the seltzers have been becoming wildly popular again. I feel like they were very popular and then they kind of stagnated. You had all the vodka drinks, right, coming out. And now they're becoming popular again, which is awesome. I mean, I'm not a seltzer drinker myself.
But yes, yeah.
You know, to each his own. And then double hazy IPA that's coming out. So nice. Those are the three that we have on the queue. Actually going to be brewing them. Well, one's already in the fermenter. The other two are going to be brewed probably next week.
Okay.
So they should be done. Well, the seltzer and the hazy will be done probably in about a month. The Marzen will probably be done a month after that.
Awesome.
That's why I put that one in first. And it's a bit longer.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I'm really excited about these and just actually making different type of recipes, right? Or different type of beers, excuse me. Because you and I were kind of having this conversation offline. It's like I was super behind. So I just was cranking on the flagship beers.
Yeah.
And now I'm finally caught up. So now it's like I can start making these other beers that I, you know, love to brew and, you know, get the creative brain going.
There you go. Nice. What was it like for you guys on Super Bowl Sunday last weekend?
It was cool, man. We did packages, as you know. We sell the different meats here and beer, obviously. So sold a lot of those packages. People took them home. We shut down early because it's a Super Bowl. And, everybody wants to watch it with their family.
Yeah.
Barbecue, beat, you know, yell and have a few drinks and enjoy it. But yeah, so we shut down at 2 p.m. I feel like people came in here, had their brunch, start their day, had a few drinks, and then went off and
went to
wherever
a party.
They were.
Yeah.
Where they were going to watch it. I ended up watching it at my dad's house with my brother's friends. Some friends came over, family, and it was a great Super Bowl, man. Overtime, like it was very entertaining.
Game. Yeah.
Very entertaining. So yeah, with, you know, once, what'd you think of the game?
I mean, it was really a good game. I didn't get to watch as much of it as I would like to because I was like the one, I was doing all the cooking. So right. I made a whole bunch of like appetizers, but also made like pizza, like pizzas in like our smoker.
Mm-hmm.
So it has like a pizza oven attachment. So I was just slinging pies all day pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, so you were busy.
Yeah. But then like once I was finally done around the fourth quarter. So I mean, when it got really good is when I was able to watch.
Yeah.
And I watched a little bit of the halftime show.
Got it.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. What'd you think of the halftime show?
I mean, from what I saw, I was like Usher's cool. So he went out there and killed it from what I saw.
Yeah. Usher was our era. So all the ladies that were at the Super Bowl were just like quiet.
Yeah. Of course, they were kind of glued to the TV.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely. Especially a certain part that I'm sure everyone knows. And so, we're trying to badger the women. Now you just hear the shushes from the front, like, shh, we're trying to do this. This is for us. You guys enjoy the game.
Yeah.
All right, you're right. Let them be. Watch in peace. Dance in peace.
There you go. Yeah, but no, but it was fun. Like, what did you guys have to eat over there?
We did dogs and burgers.
Okay.
So my brother, I don't know why, he loves these bacon-wrapped burgers or bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
He loves doing those things, man. So
yeah, those are good.
He gets a bunch of onions, puts it on the grill, you know, grilled onions and then the vegetables and, you know, very healthy, of course.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You got to have me put vegetables on there and next will be a salad.
Exactly, right? So we had burgers, dogs, and then my sister-in-law made chili cheese. So you can make chili cheese dog.
Oh, there you go.
Burgers. And, you know, obviously my wife brought a salad and we had some somewhat healthy options. But
yeah.
For the most part, it was burgers and dogs and beer. Plenty of bodega beer.
Oh, there you go. I know. I took when I bought the four pack last time of one of the four packs that I bought for the hazy. My uncle fell in love with it because he's a big hazy guy. It's all he drinks is hazy.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he won't touch a West Coast. He won't touch a Pilsner. He'll just drink wet hazy. So I told him I was going to pick him up another one.
Awesome. We got to take you home with some more for the uncle.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, because later on today, we're going to... Oh, If it doesn't rain, the plan is to make some smash burgers. So hopefully the rain stays away while I do that.
I mean, yeah, it's supposed to start raining tonight, right?
Yeah, I wasn't sure because when I came out in the morning, I had water on my car. So I was like, it must have rained last night or maybe when I fell asleep. I don't know.
Oh, got it.
But yeah. No, man, I can't wait for everybody to hear it. Like I said, this is the first time I've ever had somebody on the intro that's going to be the guest. So this is fun for me. It's new territory. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to do you guys have anything else coming out or have any events coming up soon? I mean,
so the conversation we're having is now geared toward Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
We're talking about doing some sort of event and nothing's been, you know, set in stone. And we don't know if it's going to be something that's going to be open to the public or something that's going to be just specifically or exclusively for our sign members.
Mm-hmm.
but that's kind of the next big holiday that we're eyeing. I know the next one is, I think, St. Patrick's.
Yeah.
You know, and we do the, like the whole green beer stuff and whatnot. But I feel like most people that go out and drink in St. Patrick's Day want to go to an Irish pub.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we have our regulars that come in, yeah, and whatnot, but it's not as full as what it normally is, like for like Cinco de Mayo or, you know, that type of holiday.
Of course. And should we, because obviously this is coming out later today, but should we talk about what we might be doing in a couple, or what we are going to be doing in a couple weeks?
Oh, man. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So this kind of happened. I don't even know how it happened. Like one IG message was sent, and then yeah, another one. Before you know it, it's like,
yeah,
you know, this was building. So on March 1st, we're going to do another podcast. So when I say mm-hmm. we, I'm talking about Mike,
yeah,
myself, and then we have another podcaster from, shout out to Tall Boy Sundays.
Yep.
I've done a podcast with him as well, and hopefully try to get maybe another brewer or two to join us, and it'll be the four of us, hopefully,
yeah,
five, six, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
To come on down, whether we'll have it here or somewhere else offsite, and just talk beer and you know, talk about the podcast world. I think that'll be a really fun episode for your listeners. Oh,
yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think that's going to be, like, when they messaged me and they asked me about if I would be interested in doing it, I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's do this thing. And then they mentioned that you're going to be a part of it too. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in. Like, just sign me up.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And as I know we were talking off air, but I'm trying to get a brewer or two also to join us. So, you know, from a different brewery, completely yeah, different brewery. So I think that would be really cool. Two podcasters, two brewers.
That'd be fun. You know, that'd be awesome.
I think that'll be fun. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. That'll be a blast. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for that. That'll be, what, March 1st? Like I think you said earlier, we'll probably have to Uber.
Oh, I highly, highly recommend it.
Oh, but yeah, no, that's going to be fun. And, you know, thanks for being on the intro with me. I mean, I'm really looking forward to everybody listening to the episode today. And yeah, man, this has been, you know, I appreciate you.
No, likewise, man. You know, looking forward to more collaborations and just trying to get the word out to people mm-hmm. that enjoy craft beer and enjoy, you know, learning about craft beer and learning about backstories of craft beer and mm-hmm. what you do and you know, what all you guys do to get the word out. I mean, we really can appreciate that more. And I speak for, you know, all the guys that you've done this for. I mean, mm-hmm. that's great for us, man. It's awesome publicity. It's great to just have a platform to get the word out and so that people really appreciate, you know, the love and blood, sweat, and tears that we put behind this so that we can get some good beer to people and good food and good times. So oh, yeah. Thank you, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. And that's what this is all about for me. Just, you know, being able to do something like that and be able to hear somebody's stories, you know. And I was talking to a friend last night at another brewery I was at, and we were talking about that and like how, like, I like hearing people's success stories, like, because like there's so much bad shit out there in the world. Like, if you can hear somebody's yeah. success story, they accomplished something that they really wanted to accomplish in their life, maybe it motivates one person. And yeah. if it motivates one, then I'm good. Like, I did my job.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, yeah. I guess the way I look at it is you shoot higher than me. For me, I'm like, if we make one person laugh, you know, maybe we made their day while, you know, their drive to work or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
So that's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But
so I appreciate you, Abraham, for being on the intro, and stay tuned for Abraham on the interview. We're going to go back in time.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, brother. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room, and I'm your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today. I have Abraham Mercado from La Bodega Brewing over here in Whittier off of Comstock and Bailey. Thanks for being on the show, brother.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for the goodies so far. Maybe so I have a little flight card in front of me, and I got a little concha, which is delicious. I like it because it's like it's soft on the inside, but a little crispy on the outside. Oh, that's like my ideal for me.
Go to, right?
Oh, yeah. So tell us, before we jump into the beer, well, we could jump into the beer first. So number one is El Rey. You said that would be this one.
Yes.
Oh. All right. Awesome.
We jump in. What we say here, salud y suerte.
There's salud.
Gracias, man.
But you're okay. Oh. Ooh, that's good, man.
Thank you, man.
That's some good stuff. So tell us, tell us about your craft beer journey, how you got into, like, you know, craft beer. Was there something, like, how it all started for you?
Sure, man. It all started off with just a regular small, you know, homebrew bucket, as most the yeah. breweries out there. Got it for a birthday, or I don't even remember what the occasion was, but came in, was just curious, you know, started brewing in the garage / kitchen. And then little by little, it just kept growing from there, right? You know, that little bucket turned into pots. Those pots turned into, you know, three pots, four pots for mini fermenters,
yeah,
a fridge, because I was always into lagers. I was the one, I guess, crazy home brewer that, excuse me. So sorry.
No, you're fine.
Went down the wrong throat on that one.
It's okay.
Wrong pipe, I mean. Yeah, I was that one home brewer that always, my attention was to lager. So I bought a little kegerator, converted into a fermenter.
Nice.
And then that turned into, you know, the three pot system, turned into like the spike Herms system, I believe. But it was just something that never stopped, you know. It was, I got that itch and just kept going with it and running with it. And at the time, I was working for a, you know, communications, government relations, PR company.
Okay.
And I had, you know, I've been there for over a decade, so I've carved my career. You know, I think I was pretty set there. And, you know, my old college roommate called me out of the, you know, one yeah. day. I'm actually not really, we never lost communication, but, you know, one day just floated the idea of, hey, I know you make beer. I want to learn. And, you know, us being the good friends that we are and guys that we are,
yeah,
he would come over and I would give him my beer. He'd of course wanted to make fun of me.
Yeah.
Oh, this is terrible. But to my surprise, he was like, hey, this is actually pretty good. I'm like,
yeah,
who is this guy?
Yeah, because yeah, your buddy's always got to give you shit,
of
right?
Of course, man. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Especially with guys. I don't know why we're that dumb, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward, and he was like, hey, I want to learn how to do this. Him and his brother, and like, okay, cool. Like, I'd be more than happy to show you guys. Let's start doing something. And, you know, kind of we moved production into one of my partner's garages, and we just started brewing.
Wow.
And then, you know, little by little, we got the silly idea of, hey, maybe we could do this,
yeah,
on a commercial scale.
Yeah.
And the sort of that idea popped in because my business partners, they come from the food distribution world.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that was sort of an advantage that we saw. And when things got more and more serious and actually was going to materialize, you know, I was at a crossroads because it's, am I going to leave my cush, you know, nice career that
of course
spent over a decade, you know, making a nice salary,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, just take the leap of faith and,
yep,
and do this. Right. And obviously we're sitting here today, so yep, you know, the decision that I made. And so when that happened, you know, we got really serious about it and started writing down the business plan, and it we were off to the races at that point. We really invested in the equipment, the grains, the homework, and we're brewing every single weekend, man. Like every weekend.
Awesome.
This beer's not up to par, throw it away. Do it, yeah, again. This beer's not up to par, throw it away. Do it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, to some extent, you know, I still kind of have that in me and that.
It's that perfectionist mentality.
It's just, you know, maybe a little tweak here, a little tweak there,
yeah,
make it that much better. But once we locked in, you know, a handful of recipes, you know, that was a year and a half gone.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing, you know, build and build and build. We got the financing, which is obviously the hardest part to get.
Of course.
Once that happened, it was like, whoa. Like,
yeah. This is happening.
Oh, you know, this is actually going to happen. And so that point, I got very serious about it, more serious than before. Went to school, and I still had my full-time job. So in essence, I had two jobs.
Yeah.
One in downtown LA and another one in Pomona. So I was just driving. I was just on the road,
yeah,
for a long, long time that year. And went to school, worked at a brewery for about a year, and then, you know, we all know what happened.
Yeah.
that little thing that happened, you know, in,
yeah,
in 2020 that put everybody in hibernation for a bit.
Yeah.
And that was right at, you know, the cusp of us building this place.
Wow.
So we caught it like literally right after, you know, we didn't qualify for any of the PPE.
Yeah.
So it was tough, man. It was tough.
I bet.
We had to build this from scratch. And so, you know, when when you have to do things like that, you have to lean towards, you know, the people that really want to support you. So,
of course,
you know, where you're sitting now and this place that we're at is all favors that I've called in, family, friends. Hey, guys, you know, yeah. I need, you know, we're trying to build this. We're trying to stretch a dollar. Like, I know you can do, you know,
you can drywall, flooring,
right?
You can do drywall.
You can do flooring. You know, call the primos.
There you go.
Call everyone. Like, yep. We need your help. And so, you know, we're fortunate enough that they answered the call and they came out here and helped us build this thing. I mean, I know the listeners can't really see the tap room.
Oh, yeah.
But once you walk in, everything, like literally every detail in here, it has a family member has their fingerprints on it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I love like the detail in this place and just everything. Like I love the decor and they'll see it when I post the reel when this episode comes out. But it's really beautiful in here. And it almost reminds me of like an old school, like maybe like 50s, 60s kind of bar you'd walk into. And if I were to walk into a bar during that time, this is what I envision it would look like. And it looks like there's so much like care and detail went into every bit of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, as I said, every inch of this place has a story.
Yeah.
I mean, we could, you know, talk 3 hours on every single detail that we have here, but we won't. We're here to talk about the beer, right?
Yeah.
But it was quite a journey, man. Mm-hmm. Quite a journey.
But I mean, that's really cool though. And like going back to what you're saying about, you know, taking that leap of faith, like when you find your passion and when you find something that you truly love, like sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would just get scared and stay with what they're doing. And one thing I always like to say, because I have another show that I do as well, but I always mention it at the end of every episode, just because you've been doing something your whole life doesn't mean you have to do it the rest of your life.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it started off as a hobby, grew into a passion, and now it's a career, right?
Yeah.
And I always say this to people, making beer is a lot harder than drinking it.
Yeah.
Because the process behind it, and
I'm sure
you've talked to, you know, hundreds
of
brewers, and I'm sure you have a much better understanding and appreciation for what goes behind the scenes.
Oh, definitely.
And making it at a homebrew scale versus a commercial scale is night and day, right?
Oh, definitely.
There's a lot of similarities, but it's much more labor intensive.
Oh, definitely.
Commercial level, especially with the equipment that we have here.
So,
like, you know, we have an automated system.
Yeah. But how cool is that, though? I mean, you get to come to work and be happy every day, right?
Yeah, I mean, not every
day. Oh, not every day. We all have our days, of course.
Listen, I'm not knocking my profession, and I don't hate it, but you know, it is tough, man. It's tough, you know, a small business.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Businesses anywhere is going to be really hard, especially the first few years.
I mean, yeah.
We've just hit year two.
Yeah.
And just the support from the community, from Whittier and adjacent, has been awesome, man.
I mean,
People are here. We have a, you know, one thing that we really wanted to focus on is not only being hyper local, but building that camaraderie and that community. And so one of the things that we brought on was, you know, right behind you. And again, I know your members can't see it, but we have Steinlocker.
Yeah.
You know, and that inspiration came from Germany.
Yeah.
In Austria, where, you know, in that country, they take their beer, you know, pretty serious.
Right? Yeah, of course.
And their Stein memberships go back generations, right? Mm-hmm. So you rent a locker and it's passed down generation after generation after generation. I just thought that was the coolest thing.
Oh, of course.
Like drinking a Stein from your, you know, dad and your grandpa, your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. However long that generations that traces back. And so we wanted to emulate that and bring that in and, you know, pull that again, that camaraderie, that community, and build these Steinlockers, this membership. We have, you know, events, and they all come together, and they all get to know each other. They all become friends, and the coolest thing is when they're sitting at the tap room at the bar, and you notice it because you know, we have our regular glasses for our patrons, and then
of course,
have our steins, right?
Yeah,
and you can't walk in here with a sign unless you're a member.
Yeah.
And so one Stein recognizes the other Stein, and it's like, oh, hey, what number are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm this number.
Oh, how that's
long
awesome.
Have you been? And that sparking up that conversation, you know, they're our greatest advocates. They're our best, for lack of a better word, cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome seeing that community just come together.
It's definitely. And I feel like word of mouth too, like that, when you get something like that and you can bring, like, you know, you're creating, like, you have your family that came and helped you do this, but you're also building that other family to come into it. And like, to me, that's like, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And then just seeing kind of like the sub groups within that signed membership, right? Like, we have military guys, we got army guys, we got Marines, and when they get together, it's like, you know, having that conversation.
Oh, of course, people that are
like super into fitness and, you know, more just beer lovers. They want to be part of a beer club and whatnot. And so they have those conversations, and it's just super cool to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, because like I said, you're building a family, but you're also building trust, you know, within the community, because obviously you're putting out a quality product. Yeah. And I feel like, too, like when it comes to the actual, I mean, the beer, when you find, like or when you come to a place and you know, you're enjoying their beer, you build that trust. I mean, it's going to spread. It'll spread like wildfire too. Yeah. I mean, I love that. That's, and obviously you have some really good ones. This one is this number two or is this number?
That's number two.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And this one is it the
Puka? It's called the Queen's Delight.
Okay.
So it's we call it an English ale. It's really an ESB, but because in the word ESB or in the letters ESB, the word bitter is in there, and we don't want to use that in the US. You know, I think people are going to, they hear bitter, they're going to think it's going to be bitter, and it's the opposite of that.
So. Oh yeah, definitely not. I mean, it's completely crushable too. And I love like that. It has that unique kind of hue to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's a beautiful looking beer, and it tastes delicious, man. Thank you.
Yeah. That's why we just decided, let's keep it simple. Let's just call it English ale.
Yeah. Prior to you homebrewing, was there a beer that kind of like got you there? Like, oh, like this is what beer can be. Like, what did you have one of those?
Oh, there was tons.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure your audience knows this, but back in the day, there was what are called hoarders, right? Mm-hmm. And it's basically a lot of people in the entire United States, sometimes even Canada, where they would trade different beers from their local regions. They were called hoarders. They would get their hands on what were called quote-unquote whales, right?
Like this
one beer that only 150 were released, right?
Pliny and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. Yep. And one of my friends or my brother got it, right?
Yeah.
And so they would trade whatever, 5 cases for this one beer, money or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
And so I was fortunate enough and lucky enough to try a ton of just amazing beers from all over the US.
Yeah.
Because my brother was involved with it along with a friend of his.
Okay.
And so, you know, he would bring home these crazy, like back then, now they're very common, the bourbon aged, you know.
Oh yeah, the barrel aged. Barrel
aged. But before they were very rare, right?
Yeah.
And so not only that, but these different just amazing beers. All I can remember, I'm to this day, I'm not a huge IPA guy.
Okay.
But Alpine Brewery, Nelson IPA was one that I was like, oh, this could be this is an IPA. This actually is delicious, right? Mm-hmm. I remember, what was it? Bootleggers had a beer that was like a jalapeno stout.
Okay.
And it's just like these crazy different beers that I was trying. I never realized that beer can go there, right?
Yeah.
So that really sparked my interest, because that was just at the beginning of my homebrewing career, which has been like over 12 years now.
Yeah.
Probably more. But that's what, you know, kind of, and those are just the two beers that come to mind, but there was literally dozens, man.
Oh, I bet.
You know, back in those days, there was a lot of those, you know, breweries that we can name right off of our head that were just cranking.
Oh, for sure.
Just amazing out of these world beers.
Yeah.
And also, you know, internationally, for my palate has always been, I have a love for lagers. I love lagers.
Same.
Right. Specifically German and Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy, you know, your desert beer.
Yeah.
Just pick and I'll be happy. I'll find. Yeah. German lager or Mexican lager, I'm good.
Awesome.
We can double click into the Mexican lagers.
Yeah.
It's not every Mexican lager.
Yeah.
I think we all know where I'm going with this. But, you know, that was sort of the type of beers that I love and I would try to emulate and recreate, you know, because I enjoy drinking them.
Yeah. And making it your own.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you, because you mentioned you worked at a brewery just before, was it, oh, before the big thing happened in 2020? Yeah. What brewery were you at?
I was in Cal Poly Pomona.
Oh, okay.
Hit that program. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Innovation Brewery.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And what, like, and how long were you there for?
About a year.
Okay.
A little bit over a year, I believe.
Then all the craziness took over.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of before that. So I think I finished like in 19.
Okay.
And at that point, we were, as I
mentioned, putting together the business plan.
Business plan, funding, cranking on the beer literally every weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went into we put on the blinders and we went into tunnel vision because I miss a lot of birthdays and, you know, very important family events because we knew this was, you know, coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of the,
you got to make sacrifice those sacrifices
you're willing to make if you want to, you know, be where you want to or go where you, be where you want to go.
Oh, of course. And but I loved what you said earlier about, you know, you making a batch and like, you know what, this isn't up to par and then getting rid of it. And that's one of the things I love to talk to brewers because they're perfectionists and they, you could have the best West Coaster double IPA or, you know, single IPA or, you know, Pilsner or lager. And it's like, yeah, it's good, but I want to change just one little thing.
Yeah.
But then that next time you're like, oh, well, I want to change one more little thing. And it's never enough. And I feel like that's how I am with this.
Yeah.
Like it's like, I always want to talk to new and interesting people and be able to put out something quality that people love to listen to. So that's why I love talking to brewers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure one brewer that every aspiring brewer or even brewer looks up to is Vinny Cerluzzo from, you mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah.
Pliny, Pliny IPA, Pliny the Elder, Pliny the Younger. Even he changes the recipe, right?
Yep.
Over the years, it's changed.
Yeah.
Because of that.
You
know, flavor profiles or people's palates, change.
And of course.
So therefore, you kind of have to evolve and tweak towards that. You know, what's going to keep people in the tap room? What's going to keep people continuing to buy that specific beer?
1,000%.
I could guarantee you, and I know for a fact, that the original recipe of Pliny is not the recipe today.
Yeah.
Right? It's just always changing, always evolving. And you sort of have to have that, you know, it's a sell and also the freedom, right?
Because
all right, I'm going to keep this beer. I'm always going to be with this beer, but I also have that, you know, you get the yard time, so to speak, right? To give a prison analogy, go out and change it up and then, all right, now I'll go back and you know, work on this beer and try to make it better.
Yeah. And like, it's funny you use the prison analogy. I always like to say on the show, it's like, well, not being complacent, but I always say like, get busy living or get busy dying from Shawshank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's one of my favorite, that's like one of my favorite movies. So when you were brewing lagers when you were doing the home brewing, is that, so I always like to ask like your favorite styles to brew and favorite styles to drink, but I know you mentioned like, you know, the lagers are big for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as far as favorite styles to brew, it's no shocker, right?
Yeah.
Lagers, I love lagers. Although it's funny, and I'm sure you're aware of this, like lagers are the hardest beers to make, right? People think it's IPAs. It's like, no, you just bomb it with a bunch of hops and I'm going to hide behind my flaws as a brewer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lager, you can't hide behind anything.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be good. It's going to be bad, right?
Yeah.
You're going to nail the water profile, the malt, the hops, all that. Fermentation, obviously, is extremely important when it comes to lagers.
Yeah.
Pitch rate, whatever. I don't want to get into the nerdiness of it, but.
No, you're good.
But yeah, those are the ones that I've always enjoyed just because they've been very challenging.
Yeah.
You know, the other beer that I don't really enjoy brewing, but I enjoy drinking is the hazy just because it's there's just so much that goes into.
Yeah, I know it's a process.
Yeah. Every brewer has their own process.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I go a little overboard.
Yeah. But it's always funny to me, like when I talk to people about beer, when we're talking about the show, they're like, what do you always go? What's your first beer you ask for when you go? It's like, usually it's a Pilsner lager because of exactly what you said, because you can't hide behind anything. And I know if that's good, probably the rest of their stuff is going to be good.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And the fact of the matter is that most people are not craft beer nerds.
Yeah.
Right. And so last I checked, and I'm speaking out of line here, but 90% of the market is owned by the big boys.
Yeah.
Right. And so most people that come in to my place and have never been in a craft brewery before or any brewery.
Yeah.
What's more times than not, was the beer that they drink, the lighter light lager,
exactly. Right?
American light lager. So, you know, you sort of had to give them the, as we say, the gateway craft beer. Right?
I say that too. I say the gateway drug all the time.
Absolutely, man. Here, try our lager.
Yeah.
It's going to be similar, not similar to what you're used to drinking.
Yeah.
You have way more flavor, but, you know, this is sort of the tip your, you know, dip your toe into the pool before you jump in, and before I give you a hazy, before I give you a double IPA, before, you know. And so it's sort of also understanding that, like, we're and when I say we're, I mean I'm talking the craft, the real craft breweries. We're only 10% of the entire market.
Yeah,
that's nothing, and it might even be less than that. Again, I'm speaking out of line. I don't remember what the exact number is, but it's tiny, and so you know. Just really appreciate you doing things like this as well, because it gives us a voice, right? Mm-hmm. And getting our name out there and try to, you know, create this buzz to support local business, small business, craft breweries, man.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about for me. It's supporting small business, supporting the people that, you know, like, that's a, when I go to a place or when I come to a brewery, I'm like, man, this is like, and you see something like this, or like, when I saw your stuff online, like when I talked to Danny and Nathan over at Angry Horse, or like Augustine over at Brujeria, or John over at Whittier. Yep. Like, this was like, as soon as I talked to them, they're like, what about you should talk to the people at La Bodega? I was like, I'll have to reach out. So that's when, you know, I reached out to you.
They suckered you in, huh?
Oh, yeah. But, and that was the thing, though. I was like, man, like, I was like, because I mean, I'm always like going off and doing, you know, different places, but I was like, man, you got to look at the places that are in your own backyard.
Absolutely.
Like, I grew up in Pico for a lot of my life. So it was, you know, being there, it was like there was nothing like that at the time. I mean, even as like young adult, when I was like 21, like there weren't any craft breweries around during that time. Yep. Like, we would have to drive to Escondido to go to Stone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And now
here. Drive down to San Diego. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're good. I was going to say, now here, like there's four places and they're all putting out bangers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. It's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
Now into the next beer, but sort of the comment that I made as far as us just being the small percentage of the brewing or the beer consumption world, because I think that us being that small of a percentage unites us, right?
It helps for sure.
Like you would think we're competitors, and it's completely opposite, man. Like
100%.
We support each other 100%, man. And that's the sort of
route
I'm going towards, right? So this beer is called the Highway 72 Coast Style. This is a collaboration that we did with the guys that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
With your brewing company, John, Bahia, Brujeria, and Adrian, Nathan at Angry Horse. So it was the four of us. Two of us are in Whittier. Two of them are off of Whittier Boulevard, which is a huge street in east of Los Angeles, right? And so we called it Highway 72, which is what Whittier Boulevard is.
Yeah.
That's the technical. Highway 72 is what Whittier is.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, let's make it a 7.2% beer, right?
I love that.
Highway 72. Like, and so everyone kind of had their own spin on it. And so this is our version of that collaboration. And we're going to continue to roll with that collaboration. We're going to try to shoot for probably March, April.
Okay.
I want to get the band back together.
There you go.
And create another recipe, or, you know, just brainstorm and do another the collab between the four of us.
That would be awesome. Well, you guys are 3 for 3 so far.
No,
you're killing it, man. That's awesome. One thing I always love to ask brewers is like, what was your worst brew day you ever had?
Oh, man. Okay. I got the perfect story right here.
Awesome.
So I was making a raspberry wheat beer.
Okay.
Right. And primary fermentation was done. So I transferred into secondary.
Okay.
Cracked over and added all the, you know, the fruit.
Yeah.
Not knowing that, you know, yeast could still. You know, they can still chomp on sugar, even though I think I'm not getting, or I'm getting all the yeast out. Anyway, this is home brewing. This is in my room in a closet, right? And so, you know, in those home brewing days, you got like a little pump racking, right?
Yeah.
You rack over the beer. And so I'm setting it into the raspberry. Of course, pick up some yeast, close it, put it in the closet, and close the door, forget about it.
Yeah.
Wife and I leave. I forget where we went. We were gone for like a week or two. I don't remember. Get back and you can imagine the mess that
oh no
that we found. And of course, my wife is the one that finds it, not me.
Oh, yeah.
So she walks into the room and I just sit right in. Abraham? I'm like, oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I walk in. I'm like, and she's like, you're cleaning it up. I walk away. All right. Lesson learned, right?
Yeah, you made the mess. You're cleaning it up.
This was early on. But I actually have a picture of it. I was like, I got to record this. Oh, okay. I don't know why. Something told me to take a picture of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to see that for sure.
Yeah, man. And it's just a mess.
Like, yeah.
It was bad. So I spent my weekend cleaning up the closet. And yeah. And, you know, from there, it was trying to figure out why that happened.
Yeah.
You know, and learning sort of from the mistakes, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You're not going to grow unless you fail, right? You're not going to learn unless you fail. So
yeah.
And that's the great thing about craft beer. It's always changing, and you could always go from it and learn.
Yeah, I'm such a big movie nerd. So I was like, when I hear you say that, it just reminds me like in Batman Begins where Thomas asks Bruce why do we follow Bruce, and said to learn how to pick ourselves up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Pick myself up with a mop.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever, one thing I was like to ask you is, have you ever had a stuck mash?
All the time.
Yeah.
once we're done with the podcast here, I can, if you'd like, I'll give you a quick tour of the brewery.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
The way my setup is, it's just, it calls for stuck mashes.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. So, rice holes.
Yeah, obviously rice holes are important.
I mean, I've tried everything, and it consistently happens. It's more just the way the makeup of my brew house.
Yeah. I know I'm not not trying to just keep harping on it, but I just keep looking. I don't know, you probably see my eyes. I just keep looking around, and I love this. I love the whole setup, and I love that wooden kind of thing with the La Bodega there. And don't worry, guys, you'll see it when I release the reel.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the beginning, or when we started this conversation, and it being all the family having their fingerprints on it.
Yeah,
and you're talking about that, the tap room that was stained by my cousin.
That's awesome.
And that sign was by a friend whose husband was the architect.
Wow.
Right? And is a sign member.
Yeah.
And so she helped us get that here. And again, every little detail here has a friend, family, fingerprints on there.
Yeah.
And even this place, this establishment, you know, the biggest thing, not the biggest thing, but the reason why I think we go to do what we do,
yeah,
and try to focus on every detail is because it's very, not only is it a family business, but it's family ran. It's operated by family. And I'm talking like in the kitchen, brothers are right next to brothers.
That's awesome.
Working, right? Like father-in-laws and son-in-laws are working next to each other. Brother and sister are working next to each other. Husband and wife, you know, kids, like it's very, very family focused.
That's
lifelong
awesome.
Friends are that work here, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's like even like the Steinlocker, like just going back to that a little. I mean, I love that, you know, that brings, you know, two, like you said, two random people that see the sign, they're like, oh, I've seen that one before. Like, oh, and then they start chit chatting, talking about the beer, talking about, well, you know, the stuff that they like, and you know, all different walks of life, you know. And I've always wanted, this is what I always wanted this show to be like. It just so happened, like, you know, you're sitting in a brewery and you happen to be across from somebody and you end up having an hour long conversation.
Yeah. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that's great, right? Notice there isn't any TVs here.
Of course.
That's on purpose.
Yeah.
We want people to put their phones down.
Yep.
We want people to have a conversation and just be in the moment.
Yeah.
And so we built it in hopes of accomplishing that. And to a certain extent, as I said earlier, like the community has shown a lot of love here, and we really, really, really appreciate them. And having people come in here, having parties here, having their company events here, like that's just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful place, and you know, if you're killing it with the beers. So obviously, since we're talking about the tap room, do you have any funny kind of or interesting tap room stories you guys have been open?
I'll just keep to myself.
It's all good. Eh? Only, you don't know. We can talk about whatever you want or whatever.
No, I mean, you know, we had the usual like bartender slips and falls, and then they asked me in good fun, right? Like they asked me to play back the cameras, and they have a good laugh at it, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of always it gets the staff I want to say pumped up, but it's kind of, you know, it's
yeah, of course.
It's part of the job sometimes, and it's funny. I have my old assistant brewer, you know, slipped, and yeah. It was kind of funny too. Like, and all in good fun.
Man, you think of a story or something that's
yeah, and
totally. there's just so many.
Oh, I'm sure. Like you're like, you know, cycling through here, like, you know, just different, you know, different times, different things, and all this, you know, all that stuff happening.
Oh, but why you think of that? Did you grow up in Whittier, or did you grow up in the area, or
where? I grew up in East LA.
Okay.
And now I'm in Whittier. So
okay.
You know, my wife and I have our home here. We dropped anchor, so to speak.
There you go.
We're doing our roots here. We're raising our daughter here.
Oh, so that's awesome.
I'm gonna be a Whittier light for life.
There you go. Being from East LA, did you ever, like, because I'm trying to figure out how far away it is from East LA, but did you ever go to like Allen B's?
Oh yeah,
dude, that was the shredded beef burrito. Geez. There was like,
you know what's interesting? So my wife actually was the one that introduced me to that place.
Oh really?
Yeah. So her and I grew up in the same street.
Oh,
we didn't
wow.
know. We met in high school. We weren't high school sweethearts. We met there, kind of went our own, did our own things, and then reconnected.
Yeah.
And she's the one that introduced me to that. So I was an adult when I learned about L&B's.
Okay.
Because that, yeah, obviously L&B's is in Hoyle Heights.
Yeah.
And she, for her, when she was growing up, she, half of her life was in Boyle Heights and then East LA.
Okay.
You know? Very common, right? People live in East LA, go to Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
Vice versa. But yeah, so we
love L&B's. Yeah, I used to go there a lot. It's been a long time, but I it's so weird. Like, you know, sometimes like you think of a place and all of a sudden it pops up on your feed. Yeah. You're like, all right, are they in my head or what?
Yeah.
But I saw, I was like, oh man, I haven't had their shredded beef burrito in forever. But yeah. I remember going there the first time and I was maybe 18, 19. And I was like, you know, and it was at night. I was like, and I'm walking up to just like a barred window and ordering my food. But it came out. I was like, and I took my first bite. I was like, holy crap. Like, yeah. what wizard made this?
Yeah, man. That one. And I love the taquitos there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that place is a gem of LA. So I encourage everyone to go out there and try it out. You know, I thought of a story, two stories actually.
Okay, awesome.
So I'll show you the video if I still have it. Literally the day before we were going to open.
Yeah.
Of course, a pipe burst.
Oh, wow. Oh no.
So we were here all night cleaning up the bar.
Wow.
It was bad. Like, it was leaking. We had to figure it out. Calling the friends, the family. Hey, this is what's going on. I'm not a plumber, right?
Yeah.
I need your help. Then they answered the call, came by, shut off the water. We figured it out, had to clean everything again for a second time, get ready to go. So we didn't end up leaving here till super late, and then had to open our first day the next morning. Right, so that's something that I'm always going to remember. Yeah. Another one was Super Bowl. The lights went out. Power went out. It was, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
Jeez. I think it was last year, 2 years ago. I don't remember the actual time, but yeah, Super Bowl, we had bundles, and so we had people coming in and picking up their, you know, bundles or meats to go,
and
beer, the crawlers went on. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So. Oh man, I bet that was crazy. So what was the dirtier mess, the raspberry weed or the pipe?
Oh man, the raspberry weed, absolutely, for sure. I mean, the busted pipe was much more stressful, but than the weed, but yeah.
One thing I always love to ask people too is like the story behind the name, and then also we'll talk about the can artwork in a little bit because I love the can artwork, and I'll definitely be posting a bunch of pictures of the cans. But what was the behind the name? Like, where did you guys come up with the name?
Yeah, so La Bodega Brewing Company is the name. LA, La, you know, we can use it either way, right?
Ways.
LA or La in Spanish. So it really just stands for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Me and my two partners, Eric and Junior, were, you know, born and raised in LA, you know, we're going to be here.
Yeah, of course.
And bodega really came from, you know, in East Coast.
Yeah.
Bodega means like a little convenience store, right? But in the Mexican culture, it means a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of the common thread that the three of us had is, as you know, being children of immigrant parents.
Yeah.
We were always in a warehouse when we were kids, right?
Of course.
Working.
You know,
put food on the table, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right? There's no child believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dad needed you to work. You're going to work, right?
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the common thread between the three of us. They grew up in that, in the bodega. Uh-huh. Like every weekend, or every other weekend, I used to go help my dad in the warehouse. And so that was where that name came from.
Yeah.
Really sort of a hats off homage to our parents, and not only our parents, but, you know, all the hardworking people out there that
oh, yeah,
what they got to do to, you know, put food on the table.
Oh, for sure. Like that, my dad was used to, like you said, there was no child labor laws back then, but my dad would go pick in the fields, you know, when he was a kid, you know, with my grandpa and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I mean, hard work pays off.
Yeah.
Dreams absolutely come true, baby.
I mean, my dad did it when he first came to this country in Los Angeles and worked in a warehouse, right? I went to school in Fresno, so I know that.
Yeah.
I went to Fresno State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, well, they lived in Salinas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Salas.
Yeah.
Salad bowl.
Yep. So they were up there and he did that for a while, then ended up into the military. So he was a Marine.
Got it.
Yeah. He lied about his age and enlisted to get out of there. But yeah, man, it's like, it's that story of like, you know, really, if you want something bad enough, if you put in the effort and not just because this life, nobody's going to hand you shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's people nowadays that feel like stuff should be handed to them. But yeah, if you work your ass off, you'll get where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny. My dad lied about his age, too, and came over with the Bracero program. For those of you that aren't aware, it was a program made by the U.S. to bring in labor from Mexico to pick fruit from the fields.
Mm-hmm.
So he lied, came in. That's how he got in. He started in the Central Valley and then migrated south and landed in L.A.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, my sister actually lives up near, she lives in like Tulare, and like Visalia and all that area.
Visa?
Yeah. The first time I ever brewed though was actually just recently. It was in November because I always wanted to try brewing.
Right.
But I went up to Clovis with a buddy of mine and he has a whole, like, it's a homebrew, like, well, it's homebrew, but it's at like a pro kind of scale. The way he does it, it's just, that's phenomenal. But it was so fun. I got to make a brown ale. I was like, I was super stoked about it. Because as a kid, like, remember, I think like drinking Newcastle back in the day, it was like, oh, this is like, you know, I'm fancy because I'm drinking Newcastle. Like,
whose big brother showed up? Fancy Newcastle, right?
Exactly.
We're used to drinking Keystone Lights back in the day.
Yeah. One of my favorites was Sierra Nevada back in the day. Oh. Hams. I still have a soft spot for hams. And it's like, but it's not easy to find anymore.
Right.
But every once in a while, if I see it like a little, like the little, was it like the 16-ounce tall boy? Like, yep. All right, I'll take it.
Yeah. I hope for everyone out there that's eating right now, put your fork down because for whatever reason, a little soft spot in my heart, I think it's just college, but ice. I know some people think it's disgusting.
Oh.
For whatever reason, I don't know. It's probably just nostalgic. I don't know.
It's so funny that you mentioned Bud Ice. I'm going to tell you a story about when I was a kid. So in Pico off of Slauson and Passons, I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be a drugstore called Serve Right. And my mom would go pick up my great grandmother's pills from there and all that sort of stuff. So one time we go in there and the Bud Ice girls are there. And my mom's like, all right, stay with me or whatever. We're going to go to the thing. And then all of a sudden she couldn't find me. She lost me. She's like, where is Jonathan? Oh, sorry, Mike. I go by Mike on the show. My real name's Jonathan, but they all know that. So she's like, where's Jonathan? What's going on? And they couldn't find me. And then lo and behold, I was in the front of the line for the Bud Ice Girls with a poster, taking a picture and having them sign it for me. I think I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I had a thing for the ladies even back then.
I mean, speaking of the Central Valley, this gentleman right here is from Hanford.
Oh, awesome.
He's one of our bartenders. Again, I know your listeners can't see it, but
that's all right. What I like to do too, because I always have my little lapel mics, I always like to have like the employees say their name, how long they've been here, you know, their favorite beer on tap, stuff like that too.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Tell me about the can artwork, because I love it. I mean, this isn't like what I'm going to say, like, it's simple, but it's beautiful.
Right.
Like, so I mean that in the, you know, best way possible. I love the colors too, because it's like they're all like matte kind of colors. And
right.
Who does your can artwork?
I mean, I'm
sure family
I'll
again.
I'll give you two guesses, but I'm sure all you need is one, right?
Yeah.
Of course, it's family.
That's awesome.
One of my partner's cousins. She's a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Shout out to Clarissa, also a sign member. She's
okay.
Awesome. She does great work, amazing work, and so she's the one that designs all of our, not only our can art, but our, you know, the artwork that we have here at the at the tap room.
That's awesome.
So like merch, things of that nature. It's it's a combination, you know, between obviously like my partner's wife and her and everyone and my partner, Eric.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all, it's a family thing there.
Yeah. And that's awesome though, because even like you mentioned earlier about like the collaborations and stuff like that, that's the one of like, and I, you know, my listeners are probably like, you're bringing it up again, Mike, but it's true though, because I love like when you have a brew, when you have like breweries around you and stuff like that, and you guys are close, like I'll say like 90% of the community is like open, and they're like, oh, well, I'm having this issue with this style of beer when I'm brewing it. They're like, oh, try this.
Yeah.
And like, what other community is like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've helped a brewer and a brewer conversely has helped me.
Yeah.
And that's just awesome. And again, most people would think that's your competition. We don't see it at all.
Yeah.
Like that at all.
Yeah.
It's more of, I want you to succeed. I want all of you guys to be successful because more people are going to want to gravitate here.
Exactly.
And maybe try my beer, right? Maybe somebody might come to this community because they want to try, you know, different beers. And they're like, oh, there's another one over here. Let's try that. And just bring in that critical mass.
Yeah.
That's a win for everyone.
1,000%.
Right? So, and I feel like we're such a niche market that we understand how hard it is sometimes to, you know, make beer and the challenges that go behind that it's a lot easier for us to help each other out, you know?
I love that, man. I mean, that's like I said, that's why I love, and that's why I always harp on it, because a lot of times when you talk to people, they don't necessarily know that. They think like, oh, you're going to that brewery? Like, you know, do maybe because they're so close to each other or like something like that, though, maybe they don't like each other, but that's not the case.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Like not even close. I could walk into any of the breweries around me and, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? And, you know, have a beer and, you know, 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Before you know it.
Likewise, right? Like,
yeah.
And it happens. They come in, I go there. Like, we're really a tight community. And I really appreciate, you know, all those, not only the local guys, but also just the craft industry, you know, in the surrounding area.
Oh, definitely. And I feel like I've made so many like genuine kind of connections and friendships through doing this and like being able to talk to people. Like every time, like I go somewhere, like I think a couple weeks ago, I went to pick up a 4-pack from Angry Horse.
Right.
And I saw Nathan just walking around. I was like, hey, what's up? He's like, oh, coming to pick up beer. I was like, you know it. He's like, love to hear that. So, you know, stuff like that. But I do have one more beer here. This one is the double
IPA. Yeah.
Nice.
I just wanted to give you a little, different flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Files.
Yeah.
One other question that you asked me that I kind of half answered was, what are my favorite beers to make?
Yeah.
My favorite beers to make are the ones where I could get very creative.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the lagers and we already covered that, but there's some beers that I have coming down the pipeline where I'm really going to get out there with
it
and just to try it out, right? And that's sort of the fun part of it is having this idea, you know, thinking of this flavor profile and how do I get from point A to point B. So the ones that are always fun, although a lot of work, are like the stouts, right? Because you can do coconut, can do, you know, let the imagination go wild.
Oh,
with that vanilla, you know, blueberry, whatever it may be. And so there's a few of a lineup that I have, right?
Okay.
That I have in the Rolodex, so to speak, and hopefully we get those out sooner rather than later.
That's awesome. One thing I wanted, because I definitely want to mention here, so you guys also serve brunch. Do you have like a favorite food that you would pair like with a beer? Like say if you were, you know, having brunch?
Yeah, absolutely. So with brunch, it's a little different for me. My go-to for brunch is the chorizo and
beans.
You got to try the beans here, by the way.
Oh, I'm down.
We always talk about the beans.
Yeah.
Mexican caviar, as we call it. I mean, they're not the healthiest.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's lard with a little bit of extra lard.
I'm 1,000% in, brother. Yeah. One thing I always like to say is, like, because if you go to, like, a Mexican restaurant, if their beans are good, then you know probably the rest of their stuff is pretty good. It's like the lager of
Exactly.
of the food.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the biggest compliment that our chefs get and that we get is when people come in here for brunch or for dinner.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, this reminds me of my mom's cooking or my grandma's cooking.
That's awesome.
That's the biggest compliment we get.
Of course.
But yeah, you definitely would try the beans after.
Oh, well, I'm definitely
and,
down.
And different food items. But as far as pairing, the dinner menu is more catered for beer. Brunch is, brunch. So you get more. We get a lot of people that like pairing it with our seltzers.
Okay.
My personal favorite is, as I said, the chorizo and eggs. Get a nice little side of sausage there and a blonde.
Okay.
That one, I think, goes well.
Yeah, it sounds like that'd be like the perfect pair, because then you get that kind of, you get the savory, obviously, from the chorizo and eggs and beans and stuff like that. But then you also get like that hint of the sweetness that blondes kind of, give off.
Yeah, and then, that crispness, that's my personal favorite. For dinner, we have a lot more pairings that go.
Okay.
With, just because our menu is that much bigger for dinner.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, for Valentine's Day, our chef, he grabbed four of our beers and he basically created an entire dish.
Oh, wow.
Out of the four.
That's cool.
So we're going to have that. It's going to be obviously a limited menu.
Yeah.
But we're looking really forward to that. I've been tasting it and, man, blown away.
That's awesome. I mean, because, not many, a lot of breweries have like pop-up stuff like that.
Right.
But I mean, you guys having your own, obviously your kitchen back there, stuff like that, and being able to, put out some, obviously some great stuff, and I can't wait to try the beans and the chorizo. So, this has been super fun for me, man. I'm really grateful that you allowed me to come down here and, spend some time with you and talk some beers.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. Thank you for having me. This was really fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So can I try that coconut stout?
Yeah.
Just do a little tester. We'll hit pause real quick. All right. So I got the coconut stout. And what's the ABV on this one?
8%.
Ooh, here we go. That'll get you there. While I enjoy this one, can you tell? Because you also, you guys obviously have brunch, obviously you have the beer, and you also sell meat in the front of the house?
Correct. So the concept, I know it's going to be off the wall, and we did that on purpose, is not your, what most folks would think of a brewery, right?
Yeah.
We're completely off the wall. We went wild, I guess, with the concept. It's sort of the vibe that we're going for is, as I said, we wanted it to be very intimate. We didn't want any TVs. So we did sort of like a speakeasy vibe in that the front looks like a butcher shop.
Yeah.
So when you walk in, you see all of the different cuts of meats that, by the way, we offer here in the tap room.
Yeah.
And you can buy them and take them home. So, obviously a big thing in the Mexican culture is carne asadas or barbecues,
of course,
right, on Sundays.
Yeah, no doubt.
So going back to the concept, we wanted to build something like that where people could come in, buy their meat, buy their chicken.
That's cool.
Pastor or pork, grab their beer and go home and grill it up, right? Or they can, if they choose, they can dine with us. So you walk in, it's a butcher shop, sell beer there, merch, et cetera. You'll be greeted by a host. The host will call in one of the servers. Servers will come up, welcome you in, sit you down, and then you can have dinner here. But yeah, and part of, the kind of the off the wall idea is all of the proteins or meats that we offer are not your typical, food for less choice.
Yeah, of course.
Cheaper cut meats. They're all prime and above. So prime is obviously more mobilization, more flavor, fat, et cetera. We go all the way, we go from prime tomahawks, New York's ribeyes to A1 Wagyu, Japanese Wagyu.
Yeah.
Or Wagyu ribeyes and New York's also Kobe, which is also a Wagyu. But, so we have sort of A through Z of high quality cuts of meats.
Yeah.
That we offer here.
That's awesome. And I also saw you guys have a beer making kit out there.
Yeah. Got to inspire the next generation, right?
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Because I was just looking through the window before you came and opened up for me. I was like, oh, how cool is that? Because I don't think I've ever seen a brewery have that in the, out there. So that's pretty freaking awesome.
The next brewer/griller.
Yep. You know it. Oh, man. Well, like I said, thank you again, man. Abraham, this has been super fun, and I am super appreciative of you being able to, allowing me to come in here. And I know I've said it a few times already, but I am extremely grateful that you, let me come in here and talk to you today.
Oh, thank you, man. This was awesome.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we try those beans.
Let's do it.
All right. Cheers, Tap Fam.
Hello, my name is Brian. My favorite beer here is the Mama Coco, for sure. Love a good stout. And I've been working here for a little over a year.
My name is Anthony Medina. Been at La Bodega for about a year and a half now. My favorite beer for a dinner with like one of our prime steaks would be a Cultura. Very clean tasting beer, super smooth. And then for the morning brunch, definitely recommending the Queen's Delight.
There she went and ruined. I'm just kidding.
Hi, my name is Monique. I'm the supervisor here at La Bodega Brewing Company. I have been here since before they opened. I'm considered one of the OGs, technically. But that's going to go on about two years and change now. My favorite beer on tap, surprisingly now, is the Hazy IPA, or Hazlitt. A lot of history behind it. It's a fun storyteller, especially in the round table, having the original picture of it. But I would say the second runner-up would be our Guava Seltzer. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the interviews. Obviously, the intro, like I mentioned earlier, like it was, you know, it was cool to be able to do that because I've never done that before, having, you know, the guests, you know, but I honestly wanted to go back and, you know, and hang out with them because honestly, Abraham's just such an awesome guy and everybody that works there is really like really nice and really like, you know, just courteous and stuff like that and just really good people. So those are the people we want to support. So definitely go down there if you're in the area or if you're going to be coming down this way, like coming down the way to Whittier. So definitely check out, well, you know, La Bodega. Remember, again, it's on off of Comstock and Bailey, but you know, family run business, just, you know, just awesome people. All right. Well, I got to get going. I just finished, I got to drive out to Upland. I got to go feed my buddy's dog because he's out of town. All right. So shout out to Super Mario, Mr. Chains on Instagram. All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed the episode and stay tuned for next week. Next week is the Native Son episode with John Sanchez. And the week after that will be Hardyhood with Steve and Mike. It was another fun one. We recorded that one at Noble, but it was a really fun time. All right. Well, yeah. Have a good one, guys. Take care. I didn't have a quote. I was just kind of in a rush. So something will be back next week.